Well, good evening. Okay. I just want to say that I'm very excited to be able to do this tonight, and I hope that you guys get to learn a lot from it. If you don't mind, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer once again. Father God, I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity and the chapel that you've blessed us with, and I just thank you for the fellowship we're all able to be in and be able to meet during the week, Father. You give us so many things, and I just thank you so much, and I pray that you'd bring those things to our attention and that we wouldn't take them for granted. And Father, you're so gracious and merciful, and I thank you for your character and who you are, Father. And so I just pray that I don't say what I want to say. I say what you want me to say, Father, and that I could be a mouthpiece used for you. And so I pray all this in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you would, the first point that I'm going to be talking about is the identity of the Holy Spirit. And the first point, well, second point, I guess, is that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing or a what. He's a person, he's a who, and it's a part of the Trinity, as I'm sure you're all familiar with. The Godhead is in three parts, and it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the third person of the Godhead, and he's equal with the Father and the Son, but each one of the persons have decided to take on a different role in relation to mankind and the plan for redemption. And the Spirit exalts Christ, and the Son glorifies the Father, but this isn't always exclusively true. And there are several pieces of Scripture in which tell who the Holy Spirit is, so that means you can't really just slap one label on to the Holy Spirit because he's so many things in one, and that's just the way God is. You can't do that with God because he's infinite. He's God. He's so big, and our minds are finite, and we don't have the words to sum up who he is, and it's just, that's the way it is. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to John 14, verses 16 through 20. John chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 16. Okay. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And this is Jesus speaking. And I just think it's so amazing, this next verse that comes up. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, you just stop and take a minute. Just think about that. That's so amazing how the God who created this whole entire universe, who created the atoms and the different elements and like oxygen and nitrogen to allow us to breathe, he cares about me and you. And that just blows my mind. And God, he takes it a step farther and sends his Son to save us because we messed up. It just blows my mind, absolutely. So verse 19. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And that's just so poetic to think about in verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And the only way that could happen is through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And so, the Holy Spirit is a helper to all believers, and a Spirit of truth. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory, the Spirit of truth. He reveals to us the truth. And the truth of God to the flock, And once the truth is finally understood, it exposes the lies of the devil and the world and our flesh that we tell ourselves that it's okay to do, but the Spirit of God tells us, no, that's not okay. And so another point I want to make is that the Spirit is also a benefit of the church. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts 2, verses 38 through 39, Peter said to them, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. He calls the ones that are far off through his Spirit. And in John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And if you look at the different versions that there are, like King James, it doesn't use the word helper, but comforter. And like I said before, you can't sum it up who the Holy Spirit is in just one sentence. He's also a counselor, and just it's amazing what the Holy Spirit does. But now that we've kind of gotten our toes a little wet about who the Holy Spirit is, we're going to move on to the next point, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I first thought of this idea of the coming of the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what to think. And Jesus says in John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now that makes me stop and think. I'm like, well, why? Why'd you have to leave for the Spirit to come? And me thinking in my finite mind, I'm like, well, I think it would be better if Jesus were here with us. That way we could see him and he could actually teach us like he did his disciples. But no, that's not the way it was meant to be. And I'm so glad that God doesn't ask my opinion for anything he has in his plans. Because I know I would absolutely give the wrong advice or choice, so to speak. And so God knows what's best for us, and it's truly wonderful to depend on the Lord, because just he knows what's best for us, and it's absolutely wonderful, because I don't know how atheists do it, like living basically with their life in their own hands with no hope. But we have hope in our God, and it's just, I'm so grateful that God, once he starts a work, he finishes it. And if you continue reading in John 16, verse 8, and go to verse 12, it says this, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So here's what I want to do. I want you to look in the beginning of verse 8 where it says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world. I want you to just think in your mind, instead of convict, convince. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And I have this commentary where I read some pretty interesting things, and I'd like to share them with you. The Holy Spirit will convict the world in respect of sin and righteousness and judgment. This is generally taken to mean that he creates an inward awareness of these things in the life of the individual sinner. So basically, the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our sin and gives us an opportunity to correct ourselves. And so this passage was interesting to look at because it can be interpreted in so many different ways. But if you look at, let's see, 16 in verse 10, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. I just want you to think of this idea as Jesus. He was our earthly example of who and what we were supposed to be. But it's just interesting to think of. And you no longer see me. So I was able to talk with a brother, and we kind of discussed this, and we came up with this idea. I'm not saying it's right at all, but how the Holy Spirit is our spiritual example of who we're supposed to be. And also in verse 11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And that's Satan. And so the ruler of this world is Satan. He is going to be judged. And so an interesting thing I was able to look at and maybe think about, and the world concerning sin and righteousness, that would be to us a warning that if we aren't aware of our sin and we don't choose to be righteous for God, then we'll be judged. And I'm not saying that's what all this verse is saying. There are many interpretations, but I just thought that was interesting to think about. And that brings me to my third point, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is also a very fascinating thing to think about, because if you read in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, he did so many things, and the disciples were able to be used so powerfully through the Holy Spirit using them. And the Holy Spirit is certainly a mighty and very important person in the Godhead. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit couldn't indwell us and stay with us like he can today, because our sin wasn't paid for and the work of Christ wasn't complete. And how thankful should we be that the Spirit can now indwell us because the work is done? And in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit, what I got from this verse was that he holds back what the evil of this world, as bad as it could be, he holds it back until God the Father and the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world. He chooses to take him out of this world. And he holds it back, not allowing things to be as bad as they could be. And it's just a sobering thought to think about how bad it could be when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world. And in 2 Corinthians 1:22, you don't have to turn there because we're running low on time, but he who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Now, it's just, once we have the Holy Spirit, we're sealed. We're safe. We have that Holy Spirit forever, and we know that we are children of God and that nothing can change that. And it's just, it's wonderful being so secure and safe. And so it just, once again, blows my mind to think about how we are fallen and we're sinners, and we get stuck in the cycle of sin and repenting and going back into fellowship with our Father, but yet we sin again, and perhaps it's the same sin. And it's just, we get to, the Father allows us to keep that Holy Spirit because of his grace and because all the sin was paid for at Calvary. And so it's just wonderful to think about that, and that the Holy Spirit will empower us to stay out of that sin and be able to be used for the Father. And finally, that the Holy Spirit is so powerful that he transforms us into a new person with the reading of God's Word, praying, and being in fellowship with God, and allowing him to work in us, will bear fruit that the Spirit makes grow in us. And I was able to talk with another fellow brother who's Joseph, the one who gave his testimony Sunday night. He said this, and I thought it was really kind of cool to share. If you look at nature and see how finely tuned it is, if we only allowed the Holy Spirit of God to finely tune our lives just as he has tuned nature, we could be used by him in so many mighty ways. Now, you look at nature and you see how, from the littlest thing, a flower blooming, to the planets rotating. It's just, it's all so organized and logical and well, and it's just, our God did that. He makes it all work together, and we're not an inch closer to the sun, or else we'd burn up, or an inch farther away from the sun, or else we'd freeze to death. And that's just awesome, how our God has made it so finely tuned and just perfect for us to live in. And I know I went a little fast, but in conclusion, I've talked about who the Holy Spirit is, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I feel that the Lord laid this on my heart to share because, including myself, we forget about the one who is working behind the scenes. And we should recognize him and keep him in our mind of the work that is accomplished through our comforter, teacher, and helper that we have in us who are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us never quench the Spirit or abuse the privilege that we have to be able to be indwelled with him because of the work on Calvary that was done. So let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, just thank you once again for this opportunity, and I pray that what I said made sense, and I pray that you can use that in many ways, and Father, I pray that it would get us thinking, and that we would always do our best to never quench your Spirit and allow him to work in us through the reading of your word and staying in fellowship with you, Father. So I just thank you so much for your Spirit and your Son who died for us, allowing us to have the Holy Spirit, Father. And so I just want to pray for a good week this week. I pray that we'd be able to grow in you and be able to bear fruit, and that we may be able to see fruit from the tracts that we're giving out. And so, Father, I just pray all this in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen.